here we are, another waste of podcast. Well, actually, here we aren't, another waste of a podcast. Best of Volume 1. So, we're off again, so that's why I'm putting together this little best of. It's got some hits from the early days from the Mikey Maker times. We got some inter-Nick stuff in there as well. So, and it's just me and Adam as well, so got Asleep at the Wheel is the name of one subject. Trouble with Cops is another subject. We'll be talking a little Hands Across America and some sex tips. And I believe we're going to be rounding it off with the ever so popular zombie play. So, without further ado, here is the best of Another Waste of a Podcast, starting now. Adam, you know what the sound is?
Is it the list of shit that we're going to talk about?
It is the list of shit we could possibly talk about.
Oh.
But I'm wondering if we should just go into what we teased about last week, or we can come to that later.
Well, let's do it, because I don't even remember.
Yeah, I don't.
Last week. Last week, after you motherfuckers were making fun of me for actually not having a list or anything.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid. What a dumb idea, not have a list.
But I did. I said one of the topics was falling asleep at the wheel.
Oh.
Has anyone here fallen asleep behind the wheel of an automobile?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I have to.
All right, let's move on. All said yes, we have.
I know. I hate to think that that we represent most of America, that we've all fallen asleep behind the wheel. Adam, when did you fall asleep behind the wheel of an automobile?
Well, I don't necessarily remember the exact date.
Well, no, you don't have to. I would be
good.
I'd be too afraid if you remember the exact date.
Right? I can't remember exactly what it was that I was doing. Oh, I remember when one of them was.
More than once?
Yeah, I've done it a couple times. Never, like, fallen asleep for, like, minutes or anything, because that would have been just amazing. But I didn't stay the night when we went and did that show at Jeff City. I ended up leaving that night because I had something to do the next day.
Really?
And okay. So I left, like, 2 in the morning to drive home. Ugh. I remember, like, eyes, like falling asleep and then waking up and being, like, a mile down the road, and I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It was bad news.
Mikey?
When did I fall asleep? I know the exact year and the time of year. It was summer of, like, 98, I think. Okay. No, it was summer of 99.
Okay.
And I was dating this girl who lived out in, like, maybe Hillsboro or something from St. Louis. It was, like, maybe, like, a 45-minute drive from St. Louis. And my friend James and I were there one night hanging out with her and one of her friends. And we were driving back, and I remember, like, there was, like, this long stretch of road that had been, like, 4 miles of just straight, like, not, there's like, no street lights at all, like, at this country road. Mm. I remember just dozing off, and James is already asleep, and I remember, like, falling asleep, and then the car drifting and hitting that part of the street where it's, like, embedded, so it kind of, like, it wakes you up.
The wake-up.
Yeah, the wake-up thing, and I woke up, like, oh, shit, and he was still asleep, and then I fell asleep again, and then I finally just pulled over, and we pulled over, and we took, like, a 20-minute nap.
Jesus.
This was after I had, like, the windows rolled down and the stereo blaring. I still...
Yes,
out.
I do. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, yeah. And that shit never works.
Yeah.
All right, my story is it was homecoming, and I was driving with my girlfriend in the passenger seat, my friend Sunil in the back with his girlfriend, and we were in downtown Chicago. We had just gone to this blues club, and we were driving his girlfriend home, who lived on the west side of Chicago, which is a terrible, terrible place to be. So he did not know how to get there. She only knew the street that she lived on, and she didn't know how to get there. So we found the street that was in downtown Chicago and drove all the way to her house, which, like, was a half hour away. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was like a scene out of National Lampoon's Vacation when they were all asleep. Except I had my hand resting, head resting on my hand, and all of a sudden I felt bam. We hit the middle medium of the road. We're downtown Chicago. These are streets I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the highway, and I'm not talking about a desolate road. We were in downtown Chicago. I hit the giant medium in the road, and we all went, wah! And we were all awake after that.
Yeah, no kidding.
We get to, I mean, the real shitty thing is we get to this girl's house, And she turns to us, and she turns to my girlfriend and said, don't keep your purse in your lap, because the guys in this neighborhood will bust your window open and take your purse.
That's not true.
Now, that's
my God.
That's what
no,
she
I'm
said.
Saying, she probably said that, but that probably doesn't really happen.
Well, we get there, and this dude to drop her off, and he's like, hey, I'm going to walk her to her door. I'm like, fine.
Yeah, being a gentleman.
Yeah. And so he gets out of the car, and he walks her to her door, and me and my girlfriend are waiting there, and there's cars driving by real slow and looking at us and driving past. So we're waiting and waiting, and 10 minutes go by. Finally, I blare on my horn, and he comes back, and he's like, sorry about that. And so, we could have fucking died in the middle of west side of Chicago. It was crazy.
Also, he could smooch his lady friend.
Which he didn't even... I think he broke up with her afterwards. I'll have to get Sunil on the phone on one of these days.
You know the crazy thing about driving when you're tired is your brain gets so exhausted that it tells you that... You know what? If you took like a 5-minute nap while driving, it's perfectly okay. Like, it's not like nothing's bagging. You can go ahead and doze off. Just doze.
Just close your
eyes for a couple seconds.
Your brain's like, you know what? Look at this. This road is real straight.
Yeah.
It's just you're only doing
40 miles an hour. Just take a relaxer. Close your eyes. Rest your eyes for a little
There's
bit.
There's no one else around. It's all right. No one can see.
You know, it made me laugh really hard thinking about that scene in National Lampoon's where they're just like rolling down the street, like through the stoplights, through everything. Yeah.
And then
they crash into that hotel. What convenience.
I have absolutely no idea if I went through any red lights. I don't know how long I was asleep. I'm assuming it was probably for like 20, 30, maybe 10, 15 seconds at the most.
Oh.
But it felt like I had been asleep forever. Like when we hit that medium, like, holy shit. Wide awake.
Wakes you right, white up.
White up?
White up, light up.
Wakes you white up.
You know what? I got pulled over on St. Patrick's Day.
That's what I was about to bring up. I want to hear because...
Especially since you of all the fuck the cops thing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say because track two is fuck cops. I want to hear your fuck the cops story.
Yeah, so on St. Patrick's Day, right, where I go out with the cast from the show that I'm directing afterwards, and we go and get pizzas, and we're just kind of hanging out.
Fun.
And then we decide, you know, I'm like, I have 3 beers, I think. A Blue Moon and 2 Bud Lights. In a matter of like 2.5 hours. So I was like, all right, I'm going home. I told everybody, be careful. There's probably lots of cops out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, famous last words, right?
Right.
So I'm going like 75 down 270. It's a 60 there. So I'm going 75. I'm moving pretty good. Sober as hell. And then the lights start flashing. So I was like, all right. So I pull over to the side of the road, and he comes up, and he's like, hey, pulled you over because you're going a little fast. I'm like, yeah, and I had already had my license and insurance out, and I handed them to him, and he's like, have you had anything to drink? And I was like, yeah, I've had a couple beers. And he was like, okay. He's like, I'm going to need you to get out of the car. And I was like, oh, here we go. So I get out of the car, and he's like, stand by the tire right there. So I'm standing by the wheel of the car. You know, I'm standing, and he's like, I got to clear some spot out for you. So he makes me get in the cop car, and I sit in the cop car, and he, you know, does the finger test where he's got to put it in front of your face, and he's like, now follow it with just your eyes and don't turn your head.
Right.
So I'm following the finger and all this kind of stuff, and then he's like, all right. And it seems like he's doing it for like 10 minutes. I'm following this finger around. I'm like, I get it. And then he's like, all right. And he gets the breathalyzer machine out, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gets the tube out that you have to blow into, and it's in like a sanitary package, right?
Now, did you? I'm gonna stop you. Did he ask if he could do the breathalyzer, or did he just bring it out?
Nope, just did it.
Okay,
just did it. And so, he takes this tube out in the sanitary package, and he's like, "All right, as you can see, I'm opening this the package. It's still sealed. No one has touched it. No one has been into it." He says this, and then grabs the tube with his bare hands.
Nice.
I was like, what? And then he puts it on there, and he's like, all right, now I'm going to need you to blow into this. And I'm just like, what? You know, I've heard this is like, it sounds like some cheesy gay porno.
Right.
She's like, so you need to inhale a lot and then blow. And I'm just sitting there just thinking, oh, come on. Stop saying blow. And he's like, and I need you to blow into this for 8 to 10 seconds because you got to blow hard enough that it could, you know, get the reading. And he just kept saying blow over, you know, blow this over
You're laughing?
Everybody's like, are you nervous? And I'm like, I wasn't nervous at all because I wasn't drunk. And so then I blow into the thing, you know, for 10 seconds. And I was like, I used all the oxygen that I had in my lungs. And I was like at the end, you know, like as it was barely coming out. And then, he, you know, he's pressing all these buttons on it. And he's like, well, you're not drunk. And I'm like, well, I could have told you that.
Right.
And he's like, but.
But you can suck a mean dick probably.
Right. Yeah, you're not drunk, but man. Blow into this.
So you got some lungs.
He then says, but since you admitted to me that you're drinking, I would rather you call somebody to come pick you up.
Yeah,
and I was like, what? And he was like, yeah. I was like, all right, fine. So I called my buddy Robert, who was like right behind me. Not right behind me, but
drunk?
He left the bar a little. No, he's completely sober. Crashing into the cop car. So he comes and picks me up, and then I get home. I'm just like, this is ridiculous. And so now I have to pay a ticket for going 75 and a 60. But
go
could be all right.
Could have been a lot worse.
I never took the breathalyzer, and I passed. I was pretty stoked about that.
Right. See, because I've been pulled over twice for drinking and driving, and I thought that the cops I really don't remember, but I thought the cops, they kind of give you the option. Because they asked me, like, do you want to, you can either blow into the breathalyzer or not blow into it, and we'll have to take you into the station.
Oh, he never said that. He just kind of pulled it out, like, here you go, this is what you're doing.
Yeah, because if you don't take the breathalyzer, you automatically are admitting. Automatically
go, right?
Yeah.
Which is... I didn't want to go sit in a drunk tank completely sober. You know how awful that would be? Yeah. Sober in the drunk tank.
That would be uncool.
Everybody's like, what are you in for? And I was like, nothing. And they'd be like, eh, falling all over the place and vomiting.
So is this your first time ever being pulled over for
suspicion? I haven't used the breathalyzer? Oh, yeah.
First time? Okay, cool.
First time, yep.
I've never been pulled over.
I mean, I've got pulled over for speeding and stuff, but never for... And he didn't pull me over because he thought I was drunk. The only reason he gave me the breathalyzer is because I said I had a couple beers.
You said you had a couple beers, okay.
And so then everybody's like, well, you never tell him you have anything to drink. I'm like, well, nobody ever told me that. I figured it'd be easier if I told the truth.
Right.
But, I mean, it was St. Patrick's Day. Let's face it. I got pulled over. I was getting the breathalyzer anyway.
Right.
Even if you were walking home.
Even if I told him I had nothing to drink, I was getting the breathalyzer.
So he didn't look at all the empties in your car?
No. And it was really funny because when he pulled over, he's like, do you know how fast you're going? I was like, I don't know. I'm fucking hammered.
Maybe that had something to do with it?
Well, maybe, but I told him I had a couple beers after that, so.
Fucking. I've never been pulled over for drunk driving.
Yeah. Oh, don't ever say that. Knock on wood, Dave.
I don't drink. I don't drink and drive.
Oh, well, that's true. Well, you don't drink.
I hardly drink.
Right,
I hardly drink, so I'm pretty good.
Yeah, it sucks. You think as soon as you're like driving and you're like drunk and you see those lights flash, you like, my life is over. My life is over right now. Yeah.
Were you given a DWI, Mike?
No, I wasn't given a. Both times I got pulled over, I was I took the field sobriety. I have a great story for the first time, but I got out of it the first time. I was leaving Laughs and Landing after an open mic, and I was completely shit hammered. And I was going to drop off. I was dropping off a friend of mine that was going to this girl's house that I met on MySpace. And
nice.
What's that?
Nice.
Yeah. So I was driving down 40 to her house, and I was pretty drunk. I was swerving, and the cop pulled me over, and he gave me the whole test, and I did pretty well on it. And then he brought out the breathalyzer. I was like, all right, either you blow into this, or you don't blow it, and we take you to the station. I'm like, fuck. So I blew into it. I blew like a .09 or something like that, so I was legally drunk. And he's like, all right, unless you can find somebody to come pick you up in 10 minutes, we're going to take you to jail. And I called the girl.
You were like, you got on the phone quick, right?
I got on the phone, and I called the girl who I was supposed to meet and had her come pick me up, and that was the last time I ever saw her.
did you at least go to her house?
Yeah, we went to her house, and then we got in bed together. And then,
wait.
Well, no, I remember we went to her house, we got in bed together, we were like making out, and then I passed out in the morning. I woke up, and she was on the couch, and I was still in bed. And then she had to drive me to my car the next morning, and she didn't say a word to me. That was the last time I ever saw her. So, don't drink and drive, kids. Do not drink and drive. Well,
because then you can't bang the girl.
Because then you can't have
MySpace.
Sex with the girl you met on MySpace 6 years ago. And then the second time I got pulled over, I was downtown. I was drunk when I was leaving Laughs, and
That was not a lucky place to leave.
Well, it is if you're sober. It's a lucky place. But I, the reason I got the cops calling me because I was leaving the parking garage. And I didn't have a pass because I spent all my money at the bar. So I just kind of drove through the thing. And then they called the cops on me and they followed me and then they pulled me over. And I said that it wasn't my fault. I lost control of the car because my brake was screwed up. And then she gave me a breathalyzer and all that. And she's like, listen, you're pretty close to home. Just go home. I'm like, cool. Nice. Thank you.
Nice.
So
nice.
Don't drink and drive, kids. Do not drink and drive.
I once got pulled over twice in the same night within 5 minutes of each other.
It was like for a taillight broken and speeding?
You know, it was for an expired license plate.
Oh. What?
And it was my birthday. And
were close to see that twice?
Yeah, two different cops.
Wow.
We were in Chicago. It was my birthday. My 21st birthday. My friend Amber was trying to take me to, we were meeting my friend Molly at a bar. And we got to the bar. The bar was closed. It was like in the middle of the week, like midnight or whatever. So we're like, oh, screw it. We're going to go someplace else. So we pulled out of there and immediately got pulled over for expired plates. And Amber goes, you can't give him a ticket. It's his birthday. And the guy was like, oh, okay. So we drove off, made a left, and got pulled over immediately by another cop.
Who gave you a ticket?
They didn't give me a ticket either. She just said, we just got pulled over and it's his birthday. And they're like, oh, okay. So I went straight home after that and put the sticker on, which I had at home. I just did not put the sticker on the car.
Oh, because my birthday's next Wednesday, so that means I'm going to go and do some illegal shit and see if I can get out of it.
As long as it's your birthday.
Mm-hmm. It's my birthday. Well, all right. Keep snorting that cocaine.
Woo! I've only been taken to a police station once, but I was never arrested.
What did you get taken to the police station for?
I
hope it's something really, really gross.
It's really stupid. I was going to Best Buy. And I was speeding through the parking lot, and Sarah's old Cutlass Sierra, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I got pulled over for speeding for going like 40 in a 25 or whatever in the parking lot. And when he pulled me over, once again my license plate was expired.
Jesus,
this is a common occurrence for me. My license was expired, and my license itself was expired, and my insurance card was expired. So the officer's like, well, we're going to have to unpound your car. We're going to impound
it. Unpound?
It was pretty tempting. We're going to have to impound your car, and you're going to have to go to the police station. I'm like, okay. So I get in the back of the police car, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, crap, all my stuff's in my bag. So I asked the cop, I said, can I get my stuff out of the car? Because my keys and everything are in my bag. And he's like, okay. So I go into my car, and I grab my bag, and I get back in the car, and I'm like, man, I could have a... I have a fucking gun.
You have a gun in there.
Yeah.
I have a gun full of drugs. But he let me in the car, and I'm freaking out because I don't know what's going to happen next. And I'm sitting in there in the back of the police car, and the lights are still flashing, so it's from the lights. So it's making me super nervous. And tow truck comes and tows my car away. He gets in the car, and he turns around and said, okay, here's what's going to happen. We're going to drive you to the police station. He said it's going to be a $100 fine for your license plate and a $100 fine for no insurance. He goes, you can pay it when you get there, or you can, you know, call someone and, you know, and wait until they can bring the money, and then you can go. And I said, can we stop at the bank? And he goes, sure. So now I'm freaking out because I know that my personal bank account, I had like $6 in my account. But I knew I had
the money. But insane, you had a shitload, so right. You're like, oh.
I knew I had the money in the joint account, so, and he happens, and he pulls over to my bank.
Oh.
And he gets out of the car. He lets me out of the car. I go to the cash machine. I type in my numbers. I get my money out. He lets me.
What a stupid cop.
I know. He lets me back in the car. And we drive to the police station. And we pull up to the front. And he gets out. And he lets me out. And he goes, okay, you need to walk up that path up to the police station. I'll meet you there in 10 minutes.
What?
So I walk up the path. And I go up there. He goes and parks his car and does whatever he's going to do. He meets me in the lobby 10 minutes later. He gives me my tickets, and we go, and I paid, I don't know what I paid for them, and I paid for it, and I ended up having to call Sarah's brother, Austin, to pick me up, who he was, literally, this was in Belleville, he was literally, he was crossing, like, the Martin Luther King Bridge going into St. Louis, he had to stop and turn around and come and pick me up. He picks me up.
Wait, so your car was still impounded even after paying the fines?
I paid the fine.
Oh, sorry, it was unpounded?
Mm. I paid the fine for, because it wasn't the impound fee.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
So I had to go. So he takes me home, and I immediately, what did I do first? I think I called the insurance company and got them to email or to fax me a copy of my insurance card.
Right.
I had to call my father-in-law. He had to pick me up and take me back to the police station where I could show them that I had proof of insurance. They were able to let my car out of impound. I had to pay like the $95 to get my car out of impound, and then I took my car and I went straight to the bank where I got my sticker for my car. And then I went straight to the DMV 5 minutes before it closed and got my license renewed. A month later, I had to go to court, and I walk in there, and the judge was looking down and goes, "Mr. Martinez, is your license plate accurate now?" And I'm like, "Yes, sir." And I handed him the paper. He goes, "Good, good. Is your driver's license renewed?" And I'm like, "Yes, sir. Here it is. Show my license." He goes, "And do you have proof of insurance?" I'm like, "Yes, sir. Here you go. Show my insurance." He goes, "Now, Mr. Martinez, this shows that you have insurance now. This does not show that you had insurance when you were pulled over."
I'm like, "Shut up."
Like, okay. He goes, "Can you bring in proof that you had insurance?" I'm like, "Yes, I can bring in proof that I have insurance." He goes, "Okay, well, we'll schedule this for 1 month from today." I'm like, can I come in tomorrow?"
And then your lawyer stops and says, "Your Honor, here's four mailbags full of letters, all addressed to Dave Martinez." And then you're innocent. That's a Miracle on 34th Street joke.
Well, if only that were true. He scheduled me to come back 2 days later. I went home and I found my paperwork that showed that when I signed up for the insurance. I came back 2 days later and he goes, "Well, Mr. Martinez, this proves that you have been insured with this company from this time to this time, but it still does not prove that you were insured when you were pulled over." And I just went, ugh.
He goes, "How does that not prove it?"
Well, because it just had my policy information. It didn't say that I was up to date at that time.
Oh.
So I went, okay. So I just exhaled real heavy. And he goes, "But we'll just let it go by this time." So I ended up getting all my money back.
Good.
For both fines, because I was able to prove that.
That you actually had those things.
Exactly. And I was never actually arrested. I was never read my rights.
Well, you had no rights. You're not from this country. You're illegal.
I am very illegal.
That's true.
I was born in Evanston.
I don't even know where that is in Mexico.
It's in Illinois.
Rare is the cops in Evanston don't give a shit about anything, and they'll let you do whatever you want because they're pushovers.
My friend Dan got pulled over once. We were playing car tag.
What?
It seems super dangerous.
It was because it was nighttime.
Cars together?
No, I don't. We were. I don't even know how we invented this game. We were driving around this suburban neighborhood with our lights off in the middle of the night, trying to sneak up on our friends, and they would do the same to us whenever we caught them. And we ended up getting caught by a police officer.
Because
we were driving around, and we went to court, and I went with them, and the judge just went, "Sir, have you gotten your headlights fixed?" And we both looked at each other, and we looked at the judge, and we said, "Yes." And goes, "Yep. All right. Case dismissed."
Will you please promise me you'll stop killing people, and I'll let you go?
Yes.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes. That was craziest time in court ever. I'm Dave.
I'm Adam.
And here we are.
That's right.
That's right. That's
here
right.
We are.
Face to face.
A couple of silver spoons.
We're hoping to find.
We're two of a kind.
Damn it. That's as far as I know.
Making it go.
Nope.
Making it grow together. We're going to find our way.
That's got to stop.
No.
Together. Oh, I thought you were going to go. Damn it.
No, sure. Sorry.
I really thought that was...
Making your way in the world today.
No, that's Cheers.
Takes everything you got.
Oh, my God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Waste of a Podcast.
Oh, we just wasted a minute.
We literally wasted a minute
singing nonsense.
Adam and I aren't face-to-face at all.
But we are a couple of silver spoons.
We are. We are halfway across the country from each other, but with the technology, we are holding hands.
You would think that we were sitting right next to each other.
Hands across America.
Ah, did you, you know, did you participate in that?
I don't think I did.
I did.
What?
Yes, I participated in Hands Across America.
Right.
It did not get all the way across America, but I actually participated.
I think now you're just making up stories for the podcast.
No, I swear to gosh.
How did that come about?
I don't know. My parents wanted it. My mom wanted to do it, so we all went up to like all over on Hanley Road, and we sat up there on Hanley Road and held hands with people.
Oh, let's see. On the afternoon of Sunday, May 25th, oh, it's coming up, 1986. Almost
86, yes, I was going to say that.
Almost 7 million people joined hands to form a line that stretched 4,152 miles.
No, it did not.
Well, hold on, that's what they attempted to do.
Correct, okay.
From New York City's Battery Park to the RMS Queen Mary Pier in Long Beach, California, the nationwide event called Hands Across America was intended to raise money to fight hunger and for the... Fight hunger and homelessness. Let's see. I guess.
And they had a song, right?
Hands Across America.
Hands Across America. What is it?
I don't know. The actual song, Hands Across America, that was playing while everyone was holding hands was written by... who the hell cares?
Who was it written by? Anybody famous?
Mark Blate. Or Blate.
No.
And John Carney. The AM radio host in St. Louis.
Oh, right. Okay.
They were the trendsetters in 1980, creating music for Chrysler's Comeback, The Pride Is Back, Goodyear, Take Me Home. Lead vocals were Joe Cirasano and Sandy Farina. And they were top session singers. It peaked at number 65 in the top 65. What the hell are we talking about?
Hands Across America.
Hands Across America was a project of USA for Africa.
Wasn't it?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Wow. I have to find it now so I can listen to it.
Okay, Senator Kennedy, Edward Kennedy, and Representative Edward Markley led an official protest over every New England state being excluded from Hands Across America.
Why?
Because I guess they weren't in that line.
Oh, bummer.
In Hawaii, actor Tom Selleck and Senator Daniel Unau led a counter Hands Across America, Hands Across Hawaii program to remind mainlanders that Hawaii is in America, too.
That's right.
That's weird. I
are you? Can you hear my Hands Across America playing right now, or is it just playing in my headphones?
It's just playing in your headphones.
Okay. It's so lovely.
God, when was this? 1986? I was in junior high, I guess. Wasn't I?
You were?
Wait, how old was I in 1986?
I was eight.
I was
eight. No, that's eight. Yeah, I was eight.
Yeah, I was almost 12, so I was. Yeah, I was definitely in junior high.
Now, here I am looking at the Hands Across America video, and Kenny Rogers was just on there. Now here's Crockett and Tubbs.
Crockett and Tubbs.
Yeah, they just showed the arch. I wasn't by the arch, but... Oh, there's Kurt Douglas. Or Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas, right?
I don't know. Was it Michael Douglas or his father?
I don't remember. Michael's the young one, right?
Yes.
Well, not anymore, but, you know.
I was going to ask what state, but... Cause it's got
They're not really showing all the states now. They're just showing a bunch of homeless kids eating free food.
All yeah. the actors that were in each state. All right, well, and it doesn't make any sense as to why these actors were where they were.
Well, their C-3PO was doing it.
Yes, that's where I was just about to say.
Darn it. Sorry, Dave.
Oh, no. I mean, there's better ones in here.
There's better actors than C-3PO?
Chewbacca.
Chewbacca's in here?
He was in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, Lily Tomlin's in here. I don't know where she was, though.
She
was a little black kid in a white suit.
All right, let me...
There's Kathleen Turner.
Who was in... Well, these aren't even...
Yoko Ono, it's some Chinese kid.
Wait a minute. No. All right,
Raul Julia. Barbara Streisand. Man, this is packed with...
Kathleen Turner.
Yeah.
You said that already, right? She was at the Arch?
Yes.
The
I don't know that she was at the Arch, but they just showed Kathleen Turner.
It says she was under the Arch.
All right, here's New York. And in New York, there's apparently Duran Duran. I don't know.
In New York, let me look. Brooke Shields.
Who's in it? Oh.
Liza Minnelli, John Cardinal O'Connor, Susan Anton, Gregory Hines, Edward James Olmos, Yoko Ono, Harry Belafonte. They were anchoring the George Washington Bridge.
Good old Edward James Olmos.
I think Yoko Ono was with her son,
Daniel Ono.
God.
Oh, there's Robin Williams is with C-3PO.
R2-D2 was with Emmanuel Lewis.
Oh, they're the same height.
All right, I've got...
I have yet to see.
Okay, I'm now playing Hands Across America.
From the beginning?
There's a little kid crying, little kids. All right, there's a church. And we're flying over a church. There's some mountain.
Oh, there's
Majesty.
Mickey Mouse, Whoopi Goldberg. Oh, and Alfonso Riviera.
You're way ahead of me. I wish I should...
Yeah, oh, I'm done.
John Cryer?
Sartucci.
John Stamos is in California.
Oh, and there's Mikhail Gorbachev. Oh, or, yeah. Yeah, Baryshnikov. There's Susan Anton, okay.
It'd be weird if Gorbachev was there.
Yeah. Oprah. A fat Oprah, though. Kevin Bacon, of course Kevin Bacon's in here.
You can't be too far from Kevin Bacon.
We've just gone and made the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon even larger because of Voices of America.
Can you hear this playing?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, I'm stopping. This may take 10 minutes to stop, but...
I never saw Chewbacca, though.
No, he was in Cincinnati. Come on.
Now, so then there was like all these other songs that kind of came out. Do you remember the song Voices That Care?
I do not remember Voices That Care.
Oh, you don't remember Voices That Care. Okay, let me see if I can. Voices That Care. I got to turn it down. Look up Voices That Care. That has a little bit of more of an R&B feel to it.
All right. Voices That Care.
Uh-oh, I turned it down. I can't hear you.
I'm still here. It was done in 1991. Okay, yeah. That was done in 1991. For Desert Storm.
Oh, yeah. You need to listen to it, Dave. Yeah. Because it's got the guy from, what's the guy's name? Peter Cetera. Is it Cetera from Chicago? Yeah. And Bobby Brown. Come on.
I can see Kenny Rogers. He's always there. All right, here's the lead vocalist. Are you ready for the list?
Oh, on Voices That Care? Okay, yes. Good. Luther Vandross.
Ralph?
Stand proud. Voices That Care. All right, hit it. Magic Johnson.
Okay. Ralph Tresvant?
Oh, yeah, Ralph Tresvant. Yep.
Randy Travis.
Okay.
Celine Dion. Peter Cetera.
Oh, good. This is going in order of where they came in. Okay, good.
Bobby Brown.
Keep going.
Brenda Russell.
All right.
Janie Lane from Warrant.
Yeah.
I'm making the middle sign right now. Luther Vandross. Garth Brooks. Kathy Mattea?
Oh, okay. That's just singing right now is Garth Brooks and Kathy Mattea. Oh, and then the Nelson.
Is you have Gunnar.
That's rough,
you got Gunnar and Matthew Nelson to look forward to.
That's right. And Michael Bolton. Oh, I'm there. Michael Bolton.
Pointer Sisters.
Oh, I haven't got them.
Little Richard, Will Smith, Mark Koffler, and Kenny G both play solos in Warren Weeb.
Peter Cetera. That's my boy.
He's on a lot of crack right there. Right, I'm done with that too.
Fast forward to about 2:20, and you'll see Will Smith's rap.
And you do know I'm using your computer. Oh, there he is. I'm using the computer I use for you, so it's going to take an hour and a half.
Oh, well, forget it.
I'm trying. All right, hold on. There's Michael Bolton.
We pray to make the future bright.
What up, Richard?
Make the wrong things right.
Wrong. We're all praying you remain strong. That's why we're all here and singing along.
Not wrong. I'm at the Kenny G solo now.
I don't know how to feel about what I just saw. I mean, I'm sure it was a good
thing.
Oh,
Chevy Chase.
Well, you don't even... Oh, my God, the choir.
Mike Tyson.
I'm going to pick out a few names of people in this choir.
Wayne Gretzky. Rachel Walker.
Yeah, Clyde Drexler.
Clyde Drexler, okay.
Whoopi Goldberg's there. Debbie.
Jesus, there's a lot of people out there.
Michael Jordan's in there. Magic Johnson.
Richard Gere. Gary Busey.
Nell Carter.
Kevin Costner.
David Cassidy.
Billy Crystal.
Ted Danson.
Alyssa Milano.
Mickey Dolenz.
Fred Savage. I've seen no Mickey. Oh, Dudley Moore.
Mike Tyson.
Some really ugly woman. John Lovitz. Oh, Lord.
They've got
James Taylor.
Okay, they've got the NBA's either their all-star team or the U.S. Olympic basketball team, because everyone's represented here.
Are they?
Yeah. Sissy Spacek.
Is Sean Bradley in there?
No, this is before his time.
Okay.
He was
Michelle Pfeiffer.
He was still in college. The entire band of Warrant.
The entire what?
The entire band of Warrant is in the choir.
Oh, nice. Oh, Chris Bosworth.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Damn it. Don King.
But not the Chris Bosworth we know.
No, no. Harry Hamlin. Donny Osmond.
Who sings at the very end?
I don't know.
He's got a...
Warren Weeb.
A receding hairline and...
The last person on the singing list is Warren Weeb, or W-I-E-B-E. Warren Weeb.
Oh, I have no idea who that is. There's Don King. Okay. Oh, there was Mickey Dolenz.
Yay.
Oh, good.
He's famous for performing the song Human Touch.
How does that go?
I don't know. It was from an anime, from a Gundam cartoon. That's weird.
What? What is that?
Well, it says, after playing bass with Silver Bands, Warren Weeb was discovered by David Foster and Burt Bacharach in Los Angeles in 1987. He did the duet Listen to Me with Celine Dion for the movie of the same name. It was never officially released.
Yeah, I just found Human Touch by Warren Weeb.
And he was one of several lead vocalists who contributed in the 91 Voices That Care. The Human Touch. Would I recognize that song if I played it?
I'm trying. I can. I doubt it.
Right, then I'm not going
to. But you know a lot more about music than I do.
Crappy music. I may have to find this on my computer. YouTube. I may have to play it and you won't be able to hear it.
Yeah, I really... Dave, you gotta listen to it. I don't know it at all.
Human...
And I bet you all our listeners are like, you guys are idiots. It's Warren Weeb.
Well, Rick Springfield sings The Human Touch.
And I bet you that Jana's listening to this saying, I know Chris Bosworth. And... Chris is going, not that Chris Bosworth.
All right, we're listening to it now. You can't hear it.
I can't?
No. We can hear it as an audience.
I'm getting a really cool delay.
Yeah, it's because this is playing.
Oh, okay.
Can I find the words to tell you?
Yeah, I don't know this song. I mean, Warren Reeve is...
Yeah, me neither.
He's a large man.
And I grow very tired of it.
I did not picture that was how he was going to look.
So, when we have the, you know,
maybe
the,
it played, maybe it didn't. I can't tell. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
We have all these people get together and make these new songs, right? Have you heard the 25th anniversary of "We Are the World"?
I did not.
They added a rap into the middle of it, and it got everybody all up in a roar. And like, for this girl at my work, when it first came out. The very first singer on the album, or on the song, you know.
Was Master P.
She came. She came, no, she came the next day. I was like, oh, I heard it. I really liked it. She's like, but who is this person? And this was like, you know, maybe, you know, whenever it came out, it was like a year or so ago. And it was Justin Bieber. Or he was like uber big to like everyone in the world.
Right.
So I would assume all like teens knew him. But she was like, who's going to know who Justin Bieber is a year from now? And I'm like, I wish I could have recorded that and been like, well, everyone.
The rest of the world?
That's yes, because now like he is the, like the big hottest thing since sliced bread, Dave.
All the kids love the Bieber.
Oh, the Biebs.
They got the Bieber fever.
Bieber fever. I do not have it yet.
I've got some information here.
Oh, dang.
Let's see. The WebMD offers sex tips for men who have sex with women.
Oh.
Oh.
Do you think we're going to need to know some sex tips, Adam?
We might need to.
Can you hand that to one of the ladies over there to read the sex
tips?
One of
the ladies. Sarah. Aaron,
I don't even reach for it.
Aaron didn't make eye contact with me.
She did not. I was trying to do some show prep today, and this is what I was able to come up with for show prep.
Okay. He was doing his own research. He wanted to know tips. Don't let him fool you.
This is for Nick.
Oh, all right, wait, what am I doing?
Because I have to sleep with every woman.
You got a lot of work cut out for you.
You don't want me to read this whole thing.
You can paraphrase
right?
What you need to paraphrase. We need to read the good stuff.
All right, sex mistake number one. You know what she wants.
Adam, do you know what a woman wants?
So that's a mistake?
That you believe.
Men often make assumptions about what a woman wants based upon what they've done with other women, but women aren't all the same.
Hmm. Oh, that is true.
What a girl needs. Oh, Jesus, Sarah, that was fast.
Oh, it's already on there. Sweet.
The picture's already up on the Facebook page.
Wow! Well done.
That's awesome. And people make fun of me.
Yeah.
I should take a picture of your mismatched socks then.
Sarah, I just lost you.
Sarah, continue with or hand it to Aaron.
All right. Well, you guys didn't answer. You guys didn't. Are you guys answering?
I don't know what we're doing.
Okay. What was? Nick, as a single guy, do you assume you know what a woman wants?
Do you assume everyone? Do you try the same, or do you do the same thing for every woman in like? Think that she's gonna like it every time.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
In the beginning, and then you figure out everything else.
Sorry, that's a mistake, Adam.
I was like, why'd you apologize
sorry.
To me?
Sorry.
You still looking at the picture?
No, I just saw it.
This is the Mexican Don Imus.
I would say no. I would say that.
Oops.
You have to try different things, like from the get-go. I mean, you could certainly. You can go with what you feel comfortable with. So it might not necessarily be that we as guys are saying like, oh, every girl is going to love this. But we could be like, well, I've been told that I'm fairly good at this.
Right.
So I'm going to start with my A game.
Right. This has worked in the past.
This is what I'm good
at. Right, exactly. So it's not necessarily that you feel like you know that's what they like. It's more like, well, I was told this was work, so I'm going to try it now.
All right, I agree with that.
You're showing them your sexual resume.
Right, and if they're upset with that, like if they think you're bad, then, man, you better go back to WebMD and get some tips.
That's
or
right.
Find a new lady that doesn't...
Get some penis
that's
tricks.
That's not so picky.
Dick tricks.
All right.
I keep saying penis tricks, sorry.
I think they are penis tricks or something.
Oh. Yeah.
It's puppetry of
puppetry,
penis.
Yeah.
Thank
puppetry
you.
Of
puppetry of the penis.
It sounds so much classier. Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Sex
it's like
mistake.
Cirque du Soleil.
Scrotum Soleil.
Wow.
That was awesome. That's
well played.
Sarah. All right. Sex mistake number two. You have all she needs. Some women can't have an orgasm with less than 3,000 RPMs. No human tongue or fingers can generate that kind of vibration, but men typically think something is wrong if a woman needs a vibrator.
I don't.
I don't think there's anything wrong with a vibrator.
Yeah.
I don't.
Takes all the pressure off.
If the only way that a woman
I don't even know how to answer that. Takes all the pressure off. What kind of pressure?
No, that maybe pressure is just like, hey, he's done. It's like, okay.
That may be a problem. You may be putting too much pressure on the area.
He's the backup. We call for backup. Just, no. Whoa, wait a second. Nah, that
you got another guy in that room?
Yeah. just keep going.
All right. Sex mistake number three. Sex feels the same for men and women.
Nope.
Pejet? No? I don't know if that's Pejet? How you say their name. Whoever the doctor is.
Rob. Sorry, can you finish?
Says there tends to be a huge disconnect between men and women in the ways that sex feels good. When a man has intercourse with a woman and his penis goes into her body, that sensation is so off the charts for most men, they can't imagine that it isn't feeling the same way for her. It couldn't be further from the truth.
What?
The inside of the vagina is probably less sensitive than the outer parts for most women.
What?
I feel like I'm going to the Sunday school read a story special here.
Also, deep thrusting may not feel so nice on the receiving end. If the penis is too long, it feels like you're being punched in the stomach.
Damn right.
It makes you feel nauseous.
Aaron made a face like, I've never been punched in the stomach, so...
Yeah, I don't have that problem, so all's well.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yours is maintaining the outside well.
Oh, yes.
Is it in yet? Babe, I'm already done.
Sorry.
Mistake number four, you know your way around a woman's anatomy. Most guys know generally what a clitoris is and where to find it.
I generally know.
That's not to say that they really understand it.
I don't have any specifics. I know where it's located.
Oh, my gosh. More than 30 years ago, at the start of the sexual revolution, a best-selling book called Joy of Sex got Americans hip to the orgasmic importance of the clitoris.
Oh, God.
You guys hip? Are you guys hip to the importance?
I feel like I'm pretty hip to the clit.
I'm hip. I'm hit to the clit.
I feel like it. I mean, like, yeah.
I've been told that I was... I can't say that phrase, though.
Hip to the clit.
I'm hip to the clit.
Sarah, I thank you for repeating it. That's hilarious.
That's our next T-shirt, by the way.
I'm too hip.
I will not wear that T-shirt.
The clit. Another waste of a podcast. Too hip to the clit.
Too hip
for
the clit.
Will not support that one.
Bumper sticker?
Nope.
Yeah, no. I don't know that I could wear that shirt anywhere.
A button? Maybe?
Touch this.
Maybe a button.
Sorry, continue.
But the belief that women must be able to orgasm from vaginal penetration stubbornly persists.
Ugh.
Stubbornly.
I'm not doing it.
I still get letters from people who say things like, my wife can't orgasm from intercourse unless she has clitoral stimulation. Please help. What's wrong with people?
He's calling in for backup.
He needs the backup.
Rub my wife's clit while I have sex with her.
I'm not hit to the clit. Help me out.
I'm not hit to the clit. Can you help me out?
It's going to be my new catchphrase. Too hip for the clit.
How can you find out how she likes to be touched? Try asking her.
You might want to work on your catchphrase. You don't want to say too hip for it.
Oh, no. I'm way
that
hip.
Means that all of our accusations are true.
No.
Then you're actually just hip for the dick.
No. Yep. Fuck you guys.
You said it.
I'm hip for the clit.
We think you protest too much. Continue.
All right. Yeah, no, just Camille says, yeah, thanks for nothing, Mother Nature.
Rob has thrown out the 2-minute challenge, which I think it's a bad time for it, but all right.
What's that mean?
No.
What's that
mean? Really?
Rob says somebody has to pick it up, not necessarily who is reading right now. So, Nick, you're picking up the 2-minute challenge.
What does that mean?
2-minute challenge.
Well, for 2 minutes, Nick, you have to speak in a specific way.
Oh, snap. Thanks for not picking me.
Okay. And Rob already chose it, and for the next 2 minutes, you'll be speaking with a Jamaican accent.
Oh, I could do that when I watched Cool Runnings last week.
Cool Runnings, man.
I love that movie.
Clock is running.
I love it.
Man.
Jesus.
I'm too hip for the clit.
I don't know weird.
Why. Please continue.
Like Schwarzenegger.
All right. Why does your voice get deeper?
I am hip for the clit.
Mistake number five.
Someone must destroy the clit.
What number are we on?
Five. Number five.
Oh, it's a good one.
I need to take notes.
What equals turned on?
What equals turned
wet.
On?
Oh, wet. Wet.
What?
What equals turned on? Guys Mud. Sometimes get hung up if a woman doesn't get slippery enough for easy penetration. Don't
Aaron,
worry
is that true?
About it. Don't worry, man.
Yeah, I'm not Jamaican. Don't you be making fun of me.
Don't worry, man.
Don't worry, man.
Irie.
It just
your
says,
lady's not the wit.
Some women.
Your hip clit is not wet, lady.
Did you write that down, by the way?
What? Oh, yeah. Got it, man.
Some women tend to get wetter than others, and how much lubrication a woman has can change from day to day. It varies by the phase of her menstrual cycle, and it's subject to influences like stress and medications.
I didn't read any of these, by the way, before I gave this to her.
Don't put Ben Gay on it, man.
Oh. And then sex mistake number six. Silence is golden. A lot of guys think...
Is this good? You like this?
Huh? I think they're saying...
Why do you sound like a newspaper salesman from like the 40s?
Is it too deep? Huh?
Extra, extra.
Too deep?
I'm not good with accents. Rob, remember that.
Continue.
It just says a lot of guys think they should be silent during sex, but unless you speak up, your partner has to guess what it's doing for you and what isn't.
Is it in?
If you're respectful about it, a woman who wants to please you will probably appreciate some directions. I'm not saying push her head in your lap. I think that this is how I like it is very useful conversation to have.
Wait, the guy saying that or the girl saying that?
The guy saying that.
This is how I like it.
I think we like it anyway, except if it hurts.
Yeah, no.
Well, that's right. That's what he's saying. You have to tell him.
You got to tell him.
In some ways, they're
stop
much
hurting
better
me.
Than others.
You got to tell the ladies what you like, man.
Stop hurting me. That's what I'll say. All right, your 2 minutes are up, Nick.
Thank God. That was hard.
Oh,
I don't.
That's
like
what
that.
She said.
I was just distance high five.
I was just getting into it right at the end, and then you guys made me.
So
stop.
Did we learn anything, guys?
Yeah. Play on the outside.
Play on the outside.
Play on the outside when it's raining.
That it may not always
and always speak your sexual mind.
Nick?
Yo.
I have here six biggest sex mistakes women make and reasons why women make them.
Fuck, I gotta go pee.
Okay. Ew, I don't like this game.
I don't like any of the games tonight.
Sorry, is this embarrassing you too much, Aaron?
Am I red?
Do I have to read this whole thing?
Well, you're always red. It's part of your nature.
Sex mistake number one.
I should have had you read it in Jamaican now.
Not the initiate. No, I can't do it.
No, I don't even know what that was.
I don't know either.
Irie.
Not initiating sex with your partner. Many of us worry about ladylike behavior. We don't want to appear as pushy or come on too strong for fear of being labeled aggressive.
I like how he says many of us. Many of us. I like to see me ladies.
I see. I'm making this even.
Failing to initiate sex is one of the biggest mistakes women make. Most guys feel like they are always the initiator and sets up the, disequilibrium on the passion scale in the relationship. Generally, men want to be pursued by their partners just as much as women do. Sex mistake number two.
Oh,
worrying about...
Wait, we haven't had a chance to discuss this.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know.
Ladies.
Ladies.
What are we supposed to discuss?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Do you?
I initiate. I have initiated.
Ooh.
Okay, good.
But she rolled her eyes, so apparently you don't like that.
No, I just corrected it. There's an eye roll as a correction.
Oh, I roll. Oh, you corrected.
I don't do it like every time. I'm not like, hey, you. Step down, let's go.
Right.
But
shove her face in his lap.
Whoa. Hit for the clit. Whoa. I
hope there's no children listening to this.
Yeah.
Well. This is, shit.
We are labeled explicit.
Explicit.
You know what's really funny?
Yes.
Is a shout out to friend of the show, Robin, that shared the link to our live show today to all of her friends on her Facebook page.
Aww.
Rock out, Robin.
And, rock out. And a lot of her friends are very conservative and very Christian.
Oh, this is the worst show probably that we've ever done.
I love it. I think this is hilarious.
It's okay, guys. They turned it off like
yeah,
minute five.
They, We were 5 minutes into the show and they'd already turned it off.
No, no, no. She warned them, saying, you might not want to listen to it when your kids are around. But she warned them enough to let them know about this.
Nick is dying here.
I gotta do this. I gotta go. I'll keep talking about it. I'll be right back.
No, we're running out of time.
Yeah, we are. Keep it. Now, Dave, go on with number two.
Yes, yes. Worrying about what you look like. Thinking about how you look during sex stops you from enjoying yourself and ruins the chances of achieving orgasm. Don't think about your fat on your belly or the makeup on your face, advises this doctor. Concentrate on the pleasure of the act. You must give yourself permission to have an orgasm.
I think that I'm going to call bullshit on that, though, just for a second.
We don't want women
because
to have an
I
orgasm?
Know a lot of, well, no, 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 no. Okay. I know a lot of people that say they have to feel sexy in order to be sexy. And so, like, if they don't feel sexy, they're not going to want to have sexual relations.
Yeah. But I think what she's saying is that you shouldn't, like, just let that go.
Men want their wives to abandon themselves in sex play, and that's not likely if she's anxious about her physical concerns. It's amazing what men don't notice if you're enthusiastic, energetic, interested in them, and flexible-minded.
And flexible.
Number. Men are much more attracted to women who show signs of health and youth and virility. If you're fertile. Rather than worrying about the shape of your hips, blah, blah. Number three, assuming sex is casual for men. This is for Nick. For some men, sex is a very important act. Don't minimize it.
That's right.
Never assume that a man is not romantic. Two huge mistakes in this culture are that women are not sexual and that men are not as romantic as women. Ladies?
They ain't.
They
ain't.
Yeah.
They're point proven.
Number four.
Yo.
Believing he's always up for sex. Sure, most teenage boys are ready and willing just about any time you ask, but not true of men. The pressures of everyday life, family, work, bills can zap a man's libido. This comes as a big surprise to many women, and often his lack of interest in sex is something we take personally.
I think it comes as a surprise to Nick, too.
Who the fuck did they survey?
Yeah, that kind of surprises me. Adam,
oh, shit.
It doesn't surprise me.
Well, you're a hard worker, and you are not always up for the task.
But I mean, like, you've never had a time where you're like, man, this is really nice to just go straight to bed.
Sure.
No.
Right.
But if sex were offered, I would still do it, and I'd be more I'd be more happy that sex was being offered. I'd be like, man, I don't know.
I feel like if I really didn't want to, I wouldn't do it.
Baby, just climb on and I'll go to sleep.
You wouldn't fake it?
No.
But see, we can't fake it.
Not really, no.
Not really. If we're not up to the charge, I mean...
If you're wearing prophylactics, you can fake it.
You can fake finishing, at least.
If you bring your buddy
Oops,
with you.
I'm done.
Right.
Aaron has no words for this conversation.
Sorry, thank you. Sorry.
I'm now just jumping to the last one here. Getting upset when he suggests something new. We all know that Aaron doesn't get upset when something new is suggested.
She did it me?
Well.
No, that's different.
What are we talking? What does this mean?
I'm just throwing it in. I don't know.
We know that Aaron is up for adventure.
We do know that.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
After a couple has been together for a while, it's natural to want to spice things up with a little variety. Just because your man wants to try something new doesn't mean he's unhappy with your sex life or you. In short, don't take it personally. Do we all have that?
Yo. Got it.
Yep.
Instead, let him know you need time to think about it. Good catch. Ladies and gentlemen.
Sarah and Aaron, I haven't heard them say anything in a while.
No, they're not going to say anything.
I didn't hear the last part. I'm sorry. You seem very
upset. I said something. At one point.
They're just red-faced.
It was about being adventurous.
Oh.
Women get mad at men whenever we want to be adventurous after a while.
I know.
You know. You know, bringing
Pioneers of Pioneers.
Food and whipped cream, caramel.
I don't like food in my bedroom.
Oh, dude, I'm all up for the caramel.
I'm lactose intolerant.
It's caramel milk?
So, no, but
caramel seems like such a mess.
Yeah, it seems messy.
Oh, but it's so much fun.
It's so sticky.
whipped cream gives me a tummy ache.
Aww.
Maybe you're not the one either.
I can't enjoy it. So it's like, oh, God, now I'm sick.
I just got real dirty and nobody heard it.
Would be all about eating a hot dog in bed.
Nobody heard it. Damn it.
What?
That was so dirty.
What'd you say?
I said maybe Dave's not the one eating it.
Oh.
I Wait, I don't want to see this.
I do go back to Sarah's original statement that it seems very messy.
That's what the fun shower's after for.
This is our bed. We have to sleep
in. God, you people make it sound like a chore. It's supposed to be fun.
So much other stuff to clean up. I don't
have
to clean that up.
Who has to clean their sheets after all the caramels on there?
You have to do laundry.
Yeah. Imagine if you just like fell asleep and just...
You woke up with your hair stuck in caramel and God knows what else.
Aaron, is this what we have to look forward to?
Stuck to your
eyes. Oh, my God. Not us, like, in general. I just mean, damn.
Aaron and Nick, you two are the sweetest couple ever.
You guys make it sound like sex is a chore after a while. I'm like,
No.
Do
cleaning
I really?
Your bed after having caramel all over your lady
that
and man parts is
definitely
a chore.
A chore.
Strawberries and chocolate and sex wax.
Say, look forward to it. That doesn't sound good to me either right now.
Shit.
It just...
Damn. Oh,
Sarah, you going to read the comment that we just posted?
That's what plastic sheets are for, and a shower.
That's right. I mean, the after shower is the best.
I go
Who
back.
Just posted that?
I go back to.
I would just imagine like sheets would like
well,
wrap
Mr.
all
Camille,
around.
Do you really have plastic sheets on your bed?
No, but the shower's fun.
She may have plastic sheets. We can't judge.
She might.
Yeah,
she might.
We can't judge.
I'm all up for the plastic sheets.
Well, maybe
who has
you
time to
meet
take it?
Camille, then.
Who has time to take a shower after having sex? I just want to go to sleep.
Oh, I do? Who says you're done?
If I was covered in caramel, I'd definitely <go to shower. laughs>
I mean, who says you're done after the caramel?
That
I mean,
takes a lot of planning ahead, too. You got to put the plastic sheets on for tonight.
Yeah,
well, then
no
you
got to
warm up the caramel because you can't do it cold because it doesn't pour very well.
What do you have, like, the caramel, like the blocks of caramel that mommy's for cooking?
You guys are taking all the fun out of sex, I'm telling you. Shit.
Put
sounds
these
like
blocks of caramel on your nipples. I'm going to eat them off.
Some of us have to work the next day.
Grandma and Grandpa. Well, don't do it at midnight, Dave.
I'm saying. You got to work in the morning. You just want to go to sleep.
Oh, shit. Well, you guys Camille are no fun.
Camille says a lady never tells if she has plastic sheets or not.
Camille, I feel like you're the only one on my
That's
side right
you know
now.
She
thank
wets
you.
The bed.
Oh!
Wait, I didn't mean like that, pervert.
AWOApodcast@gmail.com.
I was ooing wetting the bed. I don't know what you're talking
too.
About.
Check
too.
Out our Facebook page if you have not already.
Aaron.
I'd like to totally say will. Thank you to Mixlr.com for having this fantastic website that we can broadcast live on without having to pay for it.
Or live-ish. Yeah. Camille says you should have a sex dungeon, and then you can just hose the whole thing down.
I know where there's one in Orlando.
Fuck, who's this Camille girl? You rock.
Is Camille the one who broke
she's
her bra?
She's the big boobs,
yes,
right?
She's got the huge knockers.
Hey, it's okay. I like big
cans. Camille with huge knockers
cans.
That breaks bra. It's okay.
I'm all with big cans. It's fine.
Oh, she's going to be so mad that we talked about that again.
Oh.
You think? She's talking about a sex dungeon.
We'll see.
iTunes. Rate us 5 stars. Write a review.
Don't sign off until I hear what Camille had to say about us.
Write a review.
She says she has big fun boobies.
Is she going to be on the celebrity couch anytime?
She hates Florida.
It's too hot for her.
It's too hot for her.
It's winter.
Oh. Yeah, come down now,
yeah,
Camille.
She should come down now. It'd be
get out of
like
where
it.
You are.
Never mind.
Write a review on iTunes.
She went on a date with a guy with a handlebar mustache yesterday.
Shut up. Yeah. That beats
Camille.
My story.
You just took one day.
You just took a brownie out of the brownie points.
Why?
No, she gained 7.
A handlebar mustache.
It's a lot of points for dating somebody with a handlebar mustache.
Yeah. Adam, do you have anything to promote for the upcoming week?
No, Dave, I don't.
Nick, anything to promote?
Cross your fingers that I get a promotion and that they don't listen to the shows or I'll get it.
Aaron, anything to promote?
Gosh. Happy Thanksgiving.
Sarah, anything to promote?
You can go to sarahprettyfun.blogspot.com.
You know, I started thinking we probably all should have given ourselves fake names.
Oh.
Yeah, probably.
So
I thought about starting
it.
Now.
I thought it'd be fun.
And fake names. Now.
Well, I think it's a little late now.
Oh.
Well, why don't we just go by aliases next
show? Who's to say Sarah is not my fake name?
Right.
I did give myself a fake name.
Right.
Dave.
I'm hip for the clip.
I am not going to say that.
I know.
Say it again.
You guys don't have to say it. I'm sure you said it 1,000 times. I'm just going to cut it out.
Post for the clip.
Post it on your Facebook page.
Hit for the clip.
I'm not going to do yours now. You've ruined it.
I never said it.
I think you did.
I said hit for it.
Oh.
Ha-ha.
Yeah. So that's what I hold in my hand.
Oh,
I have the latest radio play
about this.
Written by... Pass it down.
No.
Pass it down. No one has read this but me.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, it's me too.
This is awesome.
How are you allowed to read it?
Because I had to read the emails that came through.
So wait a second. So on my other thing is I win on the zombie monster guy.
Cool. Okay. I will be the narrator.
Wait, who's... Oh, okay.
And the character Eddie. Adam will be JJ. Nick will be the news reporter. Sarah's going to be Jenny. And Aaron's going to be Allison. This movie, it's a... let's see. The email says, "Hey, Another Waste of Podcast. I'm a huge fan of the show and amateur playwright. I was wondering if you could read an excerpt of my play live on the air. It's called Zombie Terror 2011.
Sure.
So, without further ado... Oh, hold on. I need to add some effects.
Hey, make sure, since you're the only one that has multiple parts, you use different voices for us.
Got it. All right. Here we go. It's a chilly October evening. An abandoned, secluded farmhouse on the edge of town is swarmed by hundreds of flesh-eating zombies. A gander of 4 survivors have taken refuge inside. They all gather around the radio that gives them updates on the zombie attacks.
And this is not just a local phenomenon. Reporters are coming in from all over the country, and now the rest of the globe has reported the same violent outbreak of citizens who seem expressionless and almost like, well, we don't want to use the Z word, but zombie-like.
This is absolutely insane.
We need to find a way out of here. I have a family.
Nobody's going anywhere, not with all those things walking around.
Well, who do you think you are? Who said you were in charge?
Someone needs to be in charge. I nominate me. I was here at the abandoned farmhouse first. I let each of you in when you came. If it weren't for me, you'd all be one of those things by now.
Let's all stop fighting and figure out a plan.
What remains of the U.S. Army was taken shelter at Fort Orlando in Orlando. Survivors who have not been bitten or scratched are urged to head to Fort Orlando in Orlando.
There, Fort Orlando in Orlando. Let's head there.
You crazy? That's 50 miles away, and we are all on foot.
We gotta do something fast. I'm about to give birth.
Jesus! You're pregnant? How old are you?
I'm 17.
17? You should be more careful. You know, if you were my daughter...
We don't have time for this after-school special. I just heard of one of those things smash in the back window. We have to think fast.
I think I saw a rickshaw in the basement. We could ride that to safety in Fort Orlando. In Orlando.
Okay, you can drive it. Or can you drive it? God.
You idiot, can't you see I'm crippled from the waist down?
I thought you were just lazy. I can't drive the rickshaw. My legs are all scrawny, like a duck.
I stepped on a nail. I'm in too much pain.
I'll do it.
But you're pregnant.
Doctor said cardio is good for the baby.
The survivors put their rickshaw out and everyone loads in. Allison straps on the straps. Grabs the handles and drives the rickshaw past a horde of zombies towards Fort Orlando. Shut up! In Orlando. Leaving behind the farmhouse and the radio.
This just in. The U.S. Army stationed at Fort Orlando, in Orlando, has just been taken over by zombies. Repeat, do not go to Orlando.
And...
Oh my God, they're heading to Orlando.
Fort Orlando.
So you guys were all wrong. We should have went that rickshaw, not the motorcycle.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if that was as funny as we thought it was.
Zombie Terror 2011.
That was the best shit ever. Oh, shit.
I think we're all in tears here.
I'm crying. I don't even know what you guys were laughing about, but I've just been laughing so hard at it.
I don't know why. The Fort Orlando in Orlando. The Fort Orlando in Orlando. The third time it happened, that's what got me.
Okay, kid, you drive it? I mean,
God, fuck. Ronnie, like, I guess Ronnie likes, like,
I'm breathing. Cardio hell. I would be okay, Mikey. You can write us shit all the time. This is you're fucking hilarious.
Brilliant.
Oh my gosh.